Welcome on all to a very special bonus episode, I might add, of Talk About a Podcast. I am your host, Emmeline, and welcome to the Talk About a Podcast. So the reason I have a bonus episode on a Tuesday, the 16th of August, is because yesterday morning, the 15th of August, I was on Virgin Media One on a breakfast show called Ireland AM, which is Ireland's biggest morning TV show. And what an experience. Oh my God, it was just incredible. To meet Merrin and Alan and Tommy, the presenters. The producers were such amazing people. It was just such a positive and wonderful experience. If you want to see a video of my morning, head over to my other Instagram page, Ameline_photography. There's going to be a link to that in the description box below. And you can also check out my podcast Instagram page @_talkaboutapodcast, because I've put up a post there just saying thank you to everybody and explaining my morning. But the response from that interview has been insane. I really, really didn't expect what has come of it. It was so heartwarming. So a massive thank you to absolutely everyone who has watched so far. If you were not able to catch the interview yesterday, or you would like to rewatch, I am putting the replay link in the description box below. So go ahead and check that out. It should also be on social media in the very near future. So keep an eye on my social media pages. That's Ameline_photography and @_talkaboutapodcast for more. So yeah, I talked about my podcast. I talked about the Leaving Cert, which I went through this year, and about how we just need to talk more about mental health. And that's it. That was the message, that you are never alone, that talking about it does help, and we need to keep this conversation going. This podcast needs to keep growing and just reaching new heights. It's been an incredible journey. Thank you so much to everyone for their continued support. And if you're new, then welcome. And I hope you enjoy this very special episode. Let's get started.
You hear them talking, you see them watching you. It's all a friend, they're just afraid of what you can do. Solutions to questions they don't know. A revolution. Now watch them fall like they're dominoes.
Oh,
Now I would like to welcome my very special guest. He's a blogger, mental health advocate, author, and overall wonderful person, Dara Fleming. Dara, we'll jump right into it. I want to ask you how your journey with mental health started.
When I was 17, my best friend took his own life, which is quite a tragic event, especially like 10 years ago. It was 10 years ago. So 10 years ago, there wasn't as much talk about mental health as there is now. Like today, it's great that like there's so many people talking about mental health and mental illness and looking for signs and encouraging people to open up. But back then, it was kind of brushed under the carpet and like conversations were had behind closed doors. So it was very, very shocking and traumatic. And after he died, I spiraled into grief, which is, you know, naturally going to happen. But that grief morphed into depression for myself, which I didn't realize for like 3 years afterwards, because I just thought it was still grieving, but everyone else had kind of moved on and I was still stuck in this like awful, terrible depression. So once I figured that out, I started going to counseling, and once I started going to counseling, getting back to a better place, I started the blog then, which was towards the end of my undergraduate degree in UCC. I started Thoughts to Big, which originally wasn't like exclusively a mental health blog. It was kind of an all-encompassing thing because I didn't really know what I was trying to do with it. But then it niched down and I realized I just wanted to talk about mental health, and we've been doing that blog for 6 years now. And yeah, it's just a passion project for me. I absolutely love doing it and hopefully will continue to love doing it.
But look, I've read some of your blogs and they're absolutely beautiful and you've won awards for them as well. Like, this is something that has turned to a passion project and now has just grown even bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, as you're probably like yourself, like I don't do anything for the accolades or the awards, but to be obviously to be given one for the work you do mainly for free and as a passion is huge, and it's really validating, and it's nice to know that the work is definitely helping someone, you know?
Yeah, it is validating to kind of hear that sometimes. I completely understand what you're saying. So this blog, how have you seen it help other people? Have you seen it help yourself as well? Because writing, I find especially, can be very therapeutic for me. I'm a huge writer myself. I write articles for my local paper. I write a monthly blog for a US magazine that I absolutely love working with. So for me, I definitely relate to you in the kind of writing sense, how that helps, anyway, my own mental health. So how does it help yours?
Yeah, like I think what was unique about Thoughts Too Big and why I've been able to sustain it for 6 years is it's essentially my journal. So it's essentially like me just journaling in public. And so every time I write about something, it's something that I've either gone through or thought about or had difficulty with. Like, so it'll be rare that I'll, and this isn't because I don't think these things are important, but it'll rare that I'll write about something that I have no experience with, just because I don't have that experience. I don't have the expertise of living with, say, schizophrenia or BPD. Like, I don't have that experience. So I think it's important for someone who lives with those things to talk with that area. So I generally use it to like kind of work through stuff that I deal with, which has been primarily depression, anxiety. And I think that's why it's had the legs it's had. And it's essentially my journal, which is, as you know, like very therapeutic.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's something that everyone should go check out. I've put the link to your blog in the description box below so people can go read it and check it out afterwards. You. But your own journey with anxiety and depression, I mean, it's so powerful. I think everybody who has gone through anxiety and depression, now I've talked to many people on this podcast, all have their own journey, all have their own coping mechanisms, excuse me, and all have their own, you know, stories to tell when it comes to these things. So for you, yeah, what was your journey to being where you are now?
So as I said, I was very depressed in college, and one night I was out with some friends and I had a panic attack in the street, just surrounded by, it was like a college night out, so I had a panic attack in the street. And it was up until this moment I'd been kind of denying the fact that there was anything wrong. So I was denying the fact that, you know, I had low mood, or for a long time I couldn't feel emotion at all. Like, I couldn't feel happiness, couldn't feel sadness, anger, whatever. I just couldn't feel anything. So I was denying that. And then it kind of all, you know, it just kept getting compounded, and eventually it burst and I had the panic attack. And it was in that moment that I was like, okay, there's something wrong and I can't keep ignoring it. So started going to counseling in 2015. I think I stopped that first session. So that was like, I started in March, and towards the end of that summer, I stopped going because I kind of felt in a better place. But I've been back in and out whenever I feel like I need a few sessions of counseling, I go back in because I think it's really, really helpful and everyone should be doing it. Even if you don't feel like you're in a bad place, it's just really good for like development of yourself and for growth. Then after that, I took a year out, went to Dublin to do a master's, and it was during the master's that I started writing like properly. So I did a master's in linguistics, and while I was doing my thesis, I realized that I wanted to be like a writer. So I started writing like short fiction and poetry. And there was a point in that where I had more like work done on a book than I had on my thesis. So I was like, okay, I'm in the complete wrong place. So started writing full time, got a job after the master's, just kind of pay the bills. And I used every minute I could to just write as often as I could. Got a collection of short stories published, got a second one published. And now at the end of this year, I have a book on mental health. It's a collection of essays on mental health called Lonely Boy that's coming out at the end of the year. So it's just, yeah, it's been a weird journey. Like it's not the kind of cookie cutter, like go to college for this degree, get that job. I've kind of been all over the place, but I've enjoyed it, to be fair.
Yeah, I think that's actually quite prevalent at the moment as well. I'm currently waiting on my Leaving Cert results to go to college. And I know there's about 100,000 more students waiting for their results as well. And There's so many people that I know, definitely, it's a conversation I've had with people I know, that so many people just don't know what to do with their lives. So I think it's almost like a reassuring comfort thing to hear other people say, actually, I don't know what I want to do with mine, or they're on the certain track and then veered off on a certain different pattern. And, you know, That's life. You have to see where life takes you. And, you know, you've become a fabulous writer. You've published so many wonderful books, and, you know, it's really been an amazing journey for you so far. And what's that been like, becoming an author, becoming published? What was that kind of emotion for you, especially overcoming your anxiety and your depression to do this?
Yeah, like I think, like, you know, you touched on it there as well. I think first of all, there's a lot of pressure on people to decide what they're doing at 18, which I think is ridiculous. Like you should be able to take a few years to figure out yourself, because no one knows who they want to be at 18. But the depression, anxiety isn't just like gone either. Like I still get quite anxious about stuff, especially like because now there's new things to be anxious about as a writer. Like, will I get published here? Will I get accepted here? So there's different stuff, but I think, like, I remember very well the first time I got the email from my first book saying that the publisher wanted to take it on. I was like sitting I was on the bench in training or something. I was playing basketball, and it was just this kind of like surreal moment where my legs went and I didn't know what to do. So I was just in shock, like, but, and I'll always remember that moment, because like there's nothing like the first time. But it's been great, and I think the writing community in Ireland is really, really supportive, because it's like we're a small country, so there's not like millions of us. You know, once you're in the community, you kind of get to know a lot of the people in it, and it's really, really nice. People are really supportive, and I think it's a huge thing to have a community that is supportive, because I think in other jobs and different career paths, there isn't that sense of community and encouragement, which is something I've always been very adamant about. Like, encouragement is free to give, and it makes all the difference in how effectively you're going to like take on a challenge or step out of your comfort zone. All you do need is a little bit of encouragement, so it's been good.
Yeah, and on the topic of encouragement, is there any encouraging words you'd like to say to someone who's maybe struggling with anxiety or depression at the moment, or words of maybe encouragement you'd like to say to a young writer that's listening right now?
Yeah, I think the advice is almost the same. Like, I think for a long time, I denied the way I was feeling. So I denied that I was anxious or denied I was depressed. And I think the advice I'd give is you have to accept how you're feeling, and you have to like process it and allow yourself to feel like, so if you feel sad, you have to allow yourself to feel sad to work through it. You have to allow yourself to feel angry, to allow yourself to feel anxious. So I think that is the biggest realization I've had over the last few years, is that once you allow yourself to feel emotions, they eventually pass through. Whereas if you deny the emotion, they just come back up later. And for writers, I would probably say rejection is a huge part of being a writer. Like, so for example, if I send out 10 submissions, getting one acceptance out of 10 is good, and it may not happen. You might get rejected all 10 times. So it's just, don't take things personally as a writer, which is hard in the beginning because you obviously, you know, you're very vulnerable, like submitting stuff, putting your personal work out there for someone to read is very vulnerable. But I think it's just, don't take the rejection personal, because it's not personal. Publishers get thousands upon thousands of submissions, so it's never about the quality of the work. It's always just about what they prefer as a person.
Yeah, I think that's fabulous stuff, because, yeah, it is so true. All of it's so true. And I'm so delighted you've spoken about that. So thank you. And Dara, just to let people know the way that we met, actually, when I started my podcast, I found your blog, and that's how I started following you. And then you very kindly followed me back on Instagram. And ever since now, we've started working, I suppose, together with A Lust for Life, which has been an incredible journey. So do you want to tell us about how you got involved with them?
Yeah, like, I think, you know, over the last few years, came upon A Lust for Life maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Love the work to do. I think it's really important for, you know, young people's mental health. And they've always been really engaging. So, as like yourself, being asked to do lives or write for them. So we've kind of just had that relationship. And then Anya, who was doing the role I'm doing now, which is the content lead, left in January, I think. And then the role opened up. So applied for that, just kind of had like quite lovely informal chats with the guys. And we're just a good fit, I guess, just because we had the track record of working together. It made sense. And yeah, so like, been doing the job now since May. And like, it's one of these, because like yourself, so it's essentially, I'm doing what I did for Toss Too Big for like, as my passion project, as my job now. So, you know, obviously to a bigger scale, but you know, it's the same work. So it's, the passion's there. So in a lot of ways, it doesn't really feel like a job. It just feels like I'm doing what I've always done, which is great. But the team's amazing, the work, the like the plans in the tunnel for the rest of the year are fantastic and really exciting. And just what A Lust for Life wants to do in terms of educating people about mental health and educating young people specifically about mental health is really inspiring. And as you know, like, that's the reason we both got involved in the first place. So yeah, really excited to be there.
Yeah, A Lust for Life are such an incredible organization. I'm going to pop their website in the description box below as well, because like you said, we've both been kind of involved with them. I've been involved with them now for about a year and a half. They were one of the first supporters of my podcast, and huge shout out to absolutely everyone involved, because they're an incredible organization. And like you said, there's so many exciting things down the pipeline, especially for young people and mental health, which is, you know, so exciting to say, because it's like you said, we said at the top of the episode that, you know, it's something that's become more and more prevalent to talk about, which is so important. It really, really is.
For sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So before I ask you, Dara, the final two questions of this podcast, I'm very interested to know, what is something you'd like to say to your 17-year-old self if he was to come through those doors today? What would you like to say to him?
Well, yeah, 17-year-old me was quite an interesting age, as I said, because that's when one of my best friend took his own life. So I guess I'd probably have to tell him that the road ahead is going to be difficult and it's going to be painful, but you come through it, you know, you get through. And I think that's like, I have a tattoo on my arm, it says bad day, not a bad life. And I think that's probably the crux of the advice, is that like, the bad days will come, but they always do end. And the clouds do part, and there are better days. So I think, yeah, just, you know, trust that things work out, because sometimes when you're in the middle of a depressive bout, or, you know, a really severe anxiety, it feels like it'll never end, but it always does.
Yeah, and I think your story is only proof of that, Dara. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. I want to ask, what is one thing you'd like people to take away from our conversation here today?
Well, I think, you know, and it's kind of, it'll come up with the quote thing as well, like, embrace uncertainty. Like, I think that's kind of what my whole career has been, this just random uncertain road. So I think, yeah, embrace the uncertainty. Life, once you have good intention, and you're trying to do the right thing, life generally takes you in the right direction. So just embrace the uncertainty. Don't get too bogged down in the what ifs, or I have to go to college and I have to do this, or, you know, just see what happens. I think is the main thing from the conversation.
Definitely. I think I'll definitely be taking that away anyway. And a quote you live by, Dara, and why?
So my favorite quote is Voltaire. He said, "Doubt is uncomfortable, but certainty is ridiculous." And it's this idea that, like, if you're certain about your beliefs, you're certain about how your life should go, like, you have a direct plan, and if it doesn't go exactly the plan, that you'll be disappointed, is just setting you up for disaster, because it means that one misstep and the house is going to crumble. So having a bit of doubt, having a bit of uncertainty, embracing the uncertainty is really, really powerful, and allows you to adapt, because it doesn't, like, if you have a plan and it changes, you don't get, like, super upset, because you're like, okay, things have changed, it wasn't certain, I'll just do this now. And I think that's something I really do embrace, or try to embrace every day.
Wow, I have never heard of that one before, but I think I needed to hear that one today. That is brilliant. Thank you so much, Dara. I really enjoyed chatting with you. Everyone should go now and check out your blog. I've put it in the link below so people can go read it. I'm going to highlight a few of my own personal favorite blogs that you've written in the description box below. But again, Dara, thank you so much for joining me here today. I really appreciate it.
And thanks for having me on. You're an absolute legend.
Thank you.
Dara's blog, his pre-order link to his brand new book and Instagram page can be found linked in the description box below, so check that out. Make sure you also check out my own Instagram page @_talkaboutapodcast for daily quotes, updates, mental health reminders, what I'm doing, all that kind of fun stuff. Whether you're listening on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever this podcast is available, please make sure to like and comment on this episode and subscribe to the podcast, as it's a massive help, especially if you're a new listener. Please welcome and enjoy the family. You can also leave voice messages, which is really fun. If you're listening on Spotify, please leave me voice messages. I love listening to them and I will definitely reply. And I absolutely love getting emails and responses from people on Instagram, email, wherever. So please get in contact with the show, get in contact with me. Now, before I wrap up this very special bonus episode, I do have to say a massive thank you to absolutely everybody who has been a guest on this show in season one and very much in season two, because without your stories, without you guys, I would not be where I am today. This podcast would not exist. This podcast is to give people a platform to talk about mental health, to share their stories, to inspire others, and it has done so, and I cannot wait to see how big this podcast will grow, where it will go, where it will take me and you and everyone listening. It's been an incredible adventure so far. I am so thankful and I cannot wait to see all that will come of this incredible journey. So a massive thank you to absolutely everybody who has been in contact with me so far and has been listening. And if you're brand new, then please stick along, because this is an incredible journey we're all on. I have some wonderful guests lined up for the next few weeks, so I am releasing episode every second Saturday. So mark it in your calendars, put it in your diaries, so you remember and tune in, because you will not want to miss the incredible people and heartwarming advice and stories that you will hear, especially over the next few weeks. It is an exciting time. As always, a massive thank you to the musician Hannah Kinsella for the beautiful intro and exit music on all my episodes. You can find her on Instagram and on YouTube @BuskyBops. That's all for this week. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Make sure to share this episode if you've enjoyed it, and I look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Tune in, join Abilene every second week here on